Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Tuesday. This is Seattle Now. Eastside residents and workers have a brand new option for getting around. Light rail has finally opened. Sound Transit's 2-line opened Saturday. It connects Bellevue and Redmond. Seattle Times transportation reporter Mike Lindblom tells us about the impact for Eastside commuters and what lies ahead for Sound Transit. But first, here's what's happening around the city. It may be a bit before we smell the smoke, but Puget Sound Energy is preparing customers for wildfire season starting today. PSE will host 8 open houses between now and late June, sharing information about reducing the risk of wildfires. It's important to prepare early because word is this summer might be rough. The forecast calls for drought conditions and above average temperatures. Don't be caught out. We'll leave a link in the show notes with more information. Heads up, homeowners, at least the first half of your property taxes needs to be paid or postmarked by today. You can pay in full, but if you don't, that second half is due by the end of October. If you're a senior citizen, a person with a disability, or are a disabled veteran, you might qualify for tax exemptions and property tax deferral. We'll drop a link in the show notes with some handy information. And electricians around the city are rallying at Gasworks Park tomorrow, part of a weeks-long strike. Seattle's Electricians Union has been bargaining for better wages and paid holidays since January. Wednesday is International Workers' Day, or May Day, so expect more demonstrations from unions throughout the city this week. That's it for now. Come back tonight for evening headlines with Paige Browning. Over the weekend, we reached a pretty major milestone for mass transit in the Puget Sound region. A light rail starter line opened on the east side. It connects Bellevue and Redmond. A lot of Eastsiders are excited.
I live in downtown Bellevue, and my hope is to get rid of my car eventually.
It was really cool, the environment in the train. Like, everyone was super excited. Like, when they said, this is the 2-line, everyone's like, woo!
It won't connect to Seattle just yet, but it's still a pretty big deal. Light rail of any kind has been a long time coming for Eastside residents and workers, especially someone like Lil Hynett, who takes 4 buses each way to commute from Linwood to Overlake.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 25 years. So I'm excited for the light rail. I'm going just a little bit longer, just a little bit longer.
Voters approved the project more than 15 years ago. Reporter Mike Lindblom is here to talk about the debut of the 2-line and what's next for our expanding light rail network. He covers transportation for the Seattle Times.
Eastsiders have been paying, like everybody else in the region, about 3.4 million people now, have been paying very steep transit taxes, by far the highest in the U.S. And that was one of the motivations to do the starter line, even though the Lake Washington part is way behind schedule. They wanted to show people in Bellevue Redmond something tangible for their years and years of waiting and paying.
So this is just a little taste, and it is just a starter line. So let's talk right now about where it actually goes.
It's 6.3 miles. The endpoints are the South Bellevue Station. It's a 1,500 stall park and ride next to I-90 and I-405. You can walk from there into the Mercer Slough Nature Park, which is great, but not many destinations. It's a connecting point. The other end is Redmond Technology Station in the middle of the Microsoft campus. And in fact, there is a Microsoft bridge funded by Microsoft that has a turnoff where you can walk into the transit station. 47,000 employees in the area. Those are the 2 endpoints. And then in between, you have the 2 big hospitals next to downtown Bellevue, Kaiser Permanente and Overlake. Downtown Bellevue, East Main, which is the southern fringe of downtown Bellevue, the new Spring District area, and one that's not as well known but very important, Overlake Village Station. It's right on the Bellevue-Redmond border, and the city of Redmond's official plan is to put 10,000 more people there in the next couple decades. Redmond says they're going to flood that area with housing, and they've already started to do that if you walk around just east of the station.
I'm glad you brought up an increase in population, because a lot has changed on the east side since voters approved light rail all those years ago. Notably, the population in Redmond and Bellevue has increased, according to your reporting, like 35%. So what does that mean for the Toon Line and the surrounding area?
Well, it means there's a very high chance that ridership will steadily increase over time. There's a couple neighborhoods, Overlake Village that we mentioned, and the Spring District, where 6- and 7-story apartment buildings have been going up in anticipation of this line. You know, it was supposed to open in 2020. That was the voter-approved promise. And the city, along with private developers, got a running start on that.
All right. Well, increasing population, parking, all very important. But so is the attitude toward light rail. And I think it's fair to say, when Seattleites think of the East Side, car-centric is a term that comes to mind, at least right now. How much demand does the light rail need to make it worth it, I guess?
On the east side, just one perspective, I-405 from Linwood to Bellevue, Renton, and up Highway 518 to Burien. That whole crescent there takes 1.1 million or more vehicle trips per day, 1.1 million. That's the main commute corridor. This starter line is 5,000 to 6,000 people a day. And when it connects to Seattle, the one and the two line together should be around 140,000 a day, two stadium loads of people. This is not changing the highway congestion in any basic way, but it's a great option and alternative for people who live in this area. And the cities are trying to focus more activity, more people along this mostly east-west corridor of the two line.
All right. Two big things are likely happening in the next year. The first one is that this starter line is going to expand Marymore Park and downtown Redmond. So let's talk about what that means. That's a few more miles there.
Right, 3.5 more miles. That's supposed to open early next year. Marymore Village, so it's right next to the park. It is also being redeveloped for apartments. And it has a park and ride garage, which some people might use from Sammamish. Coming off the north end of the city of Sammamish, you could park there and take a ride into downtown Bellevue, for instance, during the Bellevue Art Festival or an event at Maidenbauer Center. And maybe some of the Microsoft commute as well. And then downtown Redmond Station, new apartments are going up there. The whole downtown has been basically rebuilt with these 6- and 7-story apartments. They're kind of cookie cutter in design, but they're functional. They're a place for tech workers to live, and many of them will be taking trains up the hill to Microsoft from downtown Redmond.
All right. Well, ultimately, this thing is going to connect to Seattle, and that's going to be a pretty big deal for commuters, Mike. What might that look like? Even my husband said, wow, what a great opportunity to get to the east side eventually by train.
It's going to be very popular for events. Eastsiders going to, you know, parking a Seahawks game is $200 if you're within a block or two of the stadium. So people will be doing that. And what Sound Transit has found post-pandemic is that they've had a big increase in ridership to events, personal trips, errands, socializing. And the Cross Lake commute is still depressed. On buses, it's about half of the post-pandemic amount. And I should mention one more important part of this. When they come across to Seattle, they are scheduled to bend north through downtown, University of Washington, and Linwood. So that gives people in Bellevue a different way to get to the UW. It gives that option. And then it also allows Sound Transit to have both the one line and the two line trains go from Chinatown International District to Linwood. So you can have a train every 5 minutes each direction. That gets even more important because WashDOT has to redeck I-5 from Yesler Way through Shoreline, and that takes out 2 full lanes of I-5 traffic for months on end for different segments of a mile or two. It can already take an hour, but it's going to become intolerable for people, and folks are going to be canceling trips, maybe even doing more work from home, and some, probably a few thousand, are going to give light rail a go to bypass that kind of I-5 traffic.
And maybe we'll convert them for life, Mike Lindblom. Who knows? You know, like you said, the best advertisement for light rail is sitting on the light rail looking at traffic as you're blowing by. So, all right, Mike, what else is coming our way with light rail?
The biggest near-term event is going to be the opening of Linwood Link on August 30th. Going from Northgate upward, it's Shoreline South 148th, Shoreline North 185th, Mount Lake Terrace, and then Linwood City Center. It's 8.5 miles, a very quick ride, and when Lake Washington crossing is done, trains will be able to serve Linwood, and that northern area will have train service every 5 minutes. It should be easier for North Enders to make the transit run to UW and downtown.
Mike, before I let you go, what is Sound Transit's biggest challenge at this point?
The biggest challenge is finding a way to affordably deliver the Sound Transit 3 projects, especially Ballard and also West Seattle. There was, as many people know, this report of a $6.5 billion long-term shortfall. That was 3 years ago, and construction inflation has gotten even more severe. The second challenge, and not everybody agrees with this, is the surface area in Rainier Valley, both from a safety point of view. There have been more than 160 collisions and very frequent blockages, sometimes non-train collisions. A car will crash or stall there. That perpetually wrecks the reliability, causes a safety problem. If there's going to be a spine, if this is supposed to be a regional spine, it's one of the reasons why a trip from Tacoma to Seattle will probably take 70 minutes on a train after everything is built in the 2030s to Tacoma. That is not much of an improvement over driving or over an express bus. So Sound Transit really needs to find some ways to get through there more safely and more efficiently, or they're leaving thousands of South End potential riders on the table and not having a very robust spine in their network.
All right. Seattle Times transportation reporter Mike Lindblom, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Patricia.
Thanks for listening to Seattle Now, and extra thanks to our newest donor, Yushin. Today's episode was produced by Andy Hurst. It was edited by Caroline Chamberlain Gomez. Our production team also includes Claire McGrain, Vaughn Jones, and Paige Browning. Greg Kramer does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR Network. I'm Patricia Murphy. See you later.